Okay, Rabbi, today's daf is daf Chavav, and we're starting at 7 lines from the top of the Amid, where the Gemara begins Tanya, and we're continuing to talk about the inyan of taking an individual who has been practicing as a Kohen, and then whether or not that is sufficient to be Ma'ale Liyochsin. As we discussed yesterday, the fact that a person happens to be a Kohen for many years is wonderful. But whether or not you can rely on that, for instance, for giving him truma, or allowing him to do avoid in the Beis HaMikdash, or for that matter, allowing your daughter to marry that individual, all of those things are not necessarily tied together. So we brought a number of discussions, shailas, about this yesterday and the day before, and the Gemara continues with a brisa. Tanya, Reb Shimon Elazar Oimer, Kishem Shetruma Chazaka LeKahuna. If you have a person that has been collecting truma for some period of time at the Goren, that is a chazaka, that he is a kohen. That certainly seems to be a very, very good indicator. Similarly, says the Braisa, somewhat unexpectedly, kach maiserishin chazaka lekuna. If you see that a person has been taking and receiving maiserishin at the Goren for many years, that's also a simon that he is a kohen. And yes, everybody's going to jump up and say Maserishin is a simon that he's a kohen. Maserishin goes to the Levi, not to the kohen. So the Mishnah or the Braisa should say, Kach Maserishin Chazaka Lelevia. Gemara will discuss this momentarily. And finally, V'acholik Bebezdin, a person who gets his chelik of truma. Now the Gemara assumes in the Havamina, under the auspices, under the aegis of Beis Din, ain't a chazaka. That's not a chazaka at all. And the Gemara is going to ask in a moment, that doesn't seem to make sense. If the person is getting truma under the auspices of the Beis Din presumably did its due diligence and analysis and genealogy, and we know that this guy is a kohen. What are you telling me? Ain't a chazaka. All of this will be explained in a moment. So we go first to the case about the Maserishin Chazaka LeKahuna. Freitimar Maserishin. The Levi who? Maserishin belongs to the Levi. It doesn't belong to the Kohen. Everything more, Kid Rabbeluzer ben Azariah. The sign of Rabbeluzer to Truma LaKohen. Maserishin Levi Div Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva tells us the basics that we've all known since we were children. That Truma goes to a Kohen. Maserishin goes to a Levi. And finished. Rabbeluzer ben Azariah, Oyim and Maserishin. You can give Maserishin to the Kohen as well. The Gemara here doesn't tell us what's the basis for giving Maserishin the Kohen. After all, the Torah says you give Maserishin to the Levium. However, back in Masechtas Yevamos, when we learned the same sugya, the Gemara said that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah holds that all Kohanim also have the title Levi, because if you go through Tanakh, you'll find 24 Mekoimais where the Torah refers to Kohanim as Levium, and the Gemara always brings the same pasuk, "Ba'Kohanim Halevium b'nei Tzadik," that even though they were Kohanim, Tzadik was Tzadik HaKohen, nevertheless they're called Kohanim Halevium. They also have the name, the status of a Levi. Therefore, what does the Gemara mean to say that if you have to give Maserishin to a Levi, you can also give it to a Kohen, because a Kohen is also called a Levi. Shoyin? So if you see that a person has been getting Maserishin in the Goren now for a number of years, you can conclude, this must be a Kohen. Frey Timura, 1 second. That's a big leap. Eimer Diyamar Blaz Ben Azariah, Af LeKohen, LeKohen V'Lei Levi, Mi Omar. Or Blaz Ben Azariah said is, that a Kohen is also called a Levi. So if you wish to give Maserishin to the Levi, Gesundheit. If you want to give Maserishin to the Kohen, sure, no problem. But he didn't say that it's to the exclusion of Levium. He said you can also give it to a Kohen. So Vreiti Moroi Bazoi, how do you have a raya that that is a Chazaka LeKohuna? Maybe the person who's getting the Maserishin is a Levi. Anthony Mara in, busted to consider Ezra. It's talking about Ezra when he put a knas on the Levium. Why did Ezra put a knas on the Levium? Again, we learned back in Masechtas Yevamos, because Ezra was frustrated and upset at the Levium. because at the time of the Psura, that Yidden are going back to Eretz Yisrael for the Binyan Habayis Hasheni, unfortunately only a small number of Jews returned with Ezra and Nehemiah to Eretz Yisrael at that time. And among them there were very few Levim. And so therefore Ezra said, because the Levim are not coming up to Eretz Yisrael en masse like I would have expected them, I'm taking away their Masa Rishon, and I'm handing it over to the Kohanim. And therefore, from that point and on, if you see a person getting in the Goren Masa Rishon, you can assume that it is a Kohen because of this Knas of Ezra. Would you say that now after the Knas of Ezra, that even according to Rabbi Akiva, the Masa Rishon goes to the Kohen? So Tosfos says, Rabbi Akiva agrees that there is the Knas of Ezra. However, both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah allow for that Knas just to go you one step, to take you one step and not two steps. And that is, that according to Rabbi Akiva, that pre-Knas, you could only give Masa Rishon to the Levi. Because Rabbi Akiva did not subscribe to the idea that Kehanim are called Levim, and therefore you can go and give the Masa Rishon. After the Knas of Ezra, now we already split it. Instead of being solely given to the Levi, because of the Knas of Ezra, you can give it both to the Levi and to the Kohen. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that already pre-Knas, you could give it either to the Kohen or to the Levi. As a result of the Knas of Ezra, you only give it to the Kohen. See this? You'll see the third Tosis from the top. Tosis begins in Bosta Kansinu Ezra. Everybody sees that, about 12 lines from the top of the Omid. Rabbi Akiva, the Koidim Knossa, have a Dafka Levi. Bosta Knossa, Afla Kayhanim. And therefore, according to Rabbi Akiva, if you see a person getting Masa Rishon at the Goren, you cannot automatically conclude and say, oh, this is a Koyim. It's a 50-50 chance. Same possibility, it could be a lady. Avler Blazman Azariah de Mekami Knossa have Afle Koyin. Since according to Blazman Azariah, you could have given it either to the Koyin or to the lady. Barsa Knossa have a Koyin Dafka. So therefore, when we say in the Braisa that Masa Rishon is a Raya, that it's Chazaka Lekuna, it's going to Blazman Azariah post Takonas and Knas of Ezra. Frankly, Mara. Back to the first wide line. The Dilma Ikru V'yahavale. Maybe it's talking about a situation where they gave it to the Levi after all. Now what does that mean, they gave it to the Levi? I thought you just said now they took it away from the Levium. So says the Meiri, even though they took it away from the Levium and they gave it to the Kehanim, that Stavka, if there were Kehanim that were present, ready, willing, and able to accept the Truma. But I'm sorry, the Masa Rishon. What happens if there were no Kehanim around? All Kehanim went away on vacation. Or it's a town with a very few Kehanim. And you only have Levim? No. Even after the Knas of Ezra, you can go and give it to the Levi. And Sefer says the Gemara. Oh, so you see there are situations where people give Masa Rishon to the Levi. The fact that you have it, people giving Masa Rishon to an individual, how can you say Chazaka LeKahuna? Maybe the day that the Levi got that Masa Rishon, there were no Kehanim around, and that's how come he got it. So it's not an automatic Raya that this person is a Kohen. Rav Chizr said, you're absolutely right. And therefore, we have to reinterpret the Braisa that it's talking about Hakam Mayaskinar. The father of this individual, who is the subject of our discussion, his father was a Kohen. So you're thinking to yourself, so if he was a Kohen, the son is also a Kohen. However, unfortunately, people in town are saying that this son is a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. And if he's a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, that means that he is a Cholo. And a cholol is not allowed to go and eat truma. Okay, so what does it have to do with maaser? So k'timar v'chol kulele didei maaser bebeis agronois. They're giving him maaser rishon in the goyren. So says the Gemara, there are two possibilities. Either he's a Levi, or he's a Kohen. So it's more Levi, the love Levi. He cannot be a Levi because we just said that his father is a Kohen. So if his father is a Kohen, he cannot be a Levi. So why is he getting Ma'isa Rishon Bebeis Agronos? You're telling me maybe he's a Chol Ben Grusha Ben Chalutzahu. So it's more Levi Boy Lamandi Yama Ma'isa Rishon Osulazorim Lehavi Havalei. If you held that Ma'aser Rishon is Osel Lezarim, in other words, nowadays, not only nowadays, in terms of Chazal, if you gave Ma'aser Rishon to the Levi, and then the Levi was putting together a big birthday party, or for that matter, he was making a Siyum HaShas, and he was inviting all of his friends, and some of his friends included Yisraelim. Are they allowed to eat Ma'aser Rishon? We, meaning the majority opinion, is yes, Ma'aser Rishon has no particular kiddusha, although there's a mitzvah to go and give it to the Levi, but anybody in Klal Yisrael can eat it. However, there's a Shitas Reb Meir, which is a Das Yochid, which we do not follow, that Ma'aser Rishon is also Lazarim, that just like Truma is Miyuchad Davka for the Kehanim, Ma'aser Rishon is Miyuchad Davka for the Levim, and Ezor is not allowed to eat it. So says the Gemara, not only according to Mandi Yama the Ma'aser Rishon Osel Lezorim, we certainly would not give Ma'aser Rishon to a Zor if he showed up in the Goren. We would say, get out of here. Not only are you not getting a portion, you're not allowed to even eat from the Ma'aser Rishon. So I'm not going to give you. Even according to Mandi Yama, meaning the majority opinion, the Ma'aser Rishon can be eaten by Azor. That's only that you can go and invite him and have him join you in his suda, in your suda. Or for that matter, you can give him a present. Give him Ma'aser Rishon. You can sell to Azor Ma'aser Rishon. It's all mutter to eat. But one thing is certain. We would not go and give him a chilek bevesa gronois, even if he is allowed to eat it, but he certainly doesn't get any entitlement to get a tithe of Ma'aser Rishon. So who must it be if we're giving him Ma'aser Rishon? He cannot be a lady because his father was a kohen. He cannot be a cholol because then we wouldn't be giving him Ma'aser Rishon. The fact that we're giving him Ma'aser Rishon, that's a simon that he's a bona fide kohen. And that's therefore the pshat in this price. It's going according to Blos ben Azariah. It's going after the Kanas of Ezra. Don't worry and think that maybe it was given to Levi almost by accident or because there were no Kehanim available. No. We're giving it to him because he's a bona fide Kohen. His father was a Kohen. His grandfather was a Kohen. You're nervous that maybe he is a Cholol. The fact that they're giving him Ma'aser Rishon, Beis HaGoyin is a chasimin that people know that he is a bona fide kohen. So we finished that shtickle, but now we're up to the last piece of the brayse. Remember the brayse said that a chilek bebezdin, a person who gets a chilek of truma under bezdin, and remember in the Havamina we're learning this is under the auspices of bezdin. Bezdin is authorizing all of the local farmers to give Yankel Smith truma. The price says, no, that's not a chazaka l'kuhuna. So, Frey Timura, b'choli b'bezin y'chazaka, y'b'bezin liyam y'chazaka, hey'chav y'chazaka. The fact that this is under the aegis and auspices of a, we're assuming, a recognized bezin, if you're telling me this is not sufficient to establish chazaka, what is sufficient? Isn't bezin the best proof? Obviously, they must have done some drisha v'chakira. They wouldn't be telling all the farmers, sure, give to Yankel Smith, no problem. Yeah, Yankel's a nice guy. No. They must have discussed, they must have done their due diligence, and they must have decided that he's a kohen. So what's the problem? Omer of Sheikh Shizaki Ka'amar, Achoyli Truma Benichsi, Oviv im Echa Bebezdin, Eina Chazaka. The mice is Azeh. You had a father who had several children, and the father was a kohen. And therefore, by definition, all the children are also Kohanim. However, one of the children was suspected of being the son of a Grusha or Chalutza, meaning that the father, the Kohen, had multiple wives. Most of those wives were fine. However, one of them was suspected of being a Grusha. If that's the case, the son of that wife would be a ben grusha and would be a cholol and would not be able to go and eat truma. But the father passed away. He left a yerusha. A large portion of the yerusha was truma. The Gemara in the Havamina assumes that the father also left other assets. So how is the Bezdin going to go and divvy up the estate? Logically, they're not going to want to have truma handed over to the cholol, because the cholol cannot eat truma. In fact, says the Meiri, it's a bizoyin giving the truma to a cholol, since he's a cholol, he's a czar. What business does Bezdin have to allocate part of the estate and give it to the cholol? And so therefore, you would assume that if the Bezdin is divvying up and distributing all of the truma among all the boys, as opposed to just giving it to the verified, established, confirmed kehanim, and give to this potential cholol, go and give him something else instead, give him cash, give him widgets, give him cutlery, whatever, instead of giving him the truma. The fact that we're giving truma across the board to everybody, that itself should be a simon that everybody in the family, including this potential cholol, that they're all confirmed kohanim. That's what the Gemara is saying. No! The fact that Bezdin gave out the truma across the board is not a raya. It could very well be that the reason why we gave truma to him is because we didn't have enough assets that were equal to that truma. Meaning, the Gemara and Havamin assumed, like in all estates, you have many different assets. So one of them was truma, and besides that, they had plates and pots and pans and furnishings and perhaps some real estate and all other types of metalklin and cash. So the Gemara assumes in the Havamina, why would you go and give a person who is suspected to be a cholol truma? Rather, give all the other brothers truma and give this person the financial equivalent in the form of cash or in the form of whatever. The Gemara's teretz is that, you know what, there was so much truma that they were not able to go and find assets that were equal in value to the truma, and therefore they had to go and give truma across the board to everyone, including to this person who is the suspected cholol. So again, Omer of Sheshes, Hachikon, Ha'acholi truma minichsei b'nichsei oviv im echav b'besin, if you had a division of the estate, an allocation of the assets in the estate under the aegis of Bezdin, ain a chazaka, that is not a raya. Not a raya that everybody that receives a portion is a bona fide kohen. One of them could be a cholol. Freidimor b'shita. No, of course, just the fact that Bezdin gave out truma across the board, why would I assume that everybody that received truma is a kohen? To the mouth is saying, that if the Bezdin gave out the truma, just like 9 out of 10 brothers eat the truma, so presumably the 10th can also eat the truma. Because otherwise, why would Bezdin have allowed giving an allocation of truma to all of them? They should only have given them to the bar achilis, not to the guy that cannot eat. Is the chasim al-chari that everybody can eat? That should be a chazaka le-kahuna. Kamash malon, hanach la-achila, hailiz vunay. No. Listen, an estate is an estate. You have to go and divide it up among all the kids. This fellow might still be a cholol. The reason why we gave him truma is because we didn't have anything else to give him. So what is he going to do with the truma? He'll sell it. He can't eat it, he'll sell it. So that's pshat now in the braisa when we said, acholik bebezin. We don't mean that the bezin gave an imprimatur to all the kehanim in town and they said, farmers, you can go and give to Yankel Smith and to Beryl Jones and to Shmerel McGillicuddy and to Reuven Goldberg. They're all kehanim. No. Talking about that they split up an estate under the aegis of Bezdin. So the fact that one of the brothers got truma is nishkaraya, that he's a kohen, he might very well be a cholol after all. And we continue now, vaita the Gemara, and the Gemara quotes now from the Mishnah, B'yuda, ima in mal lekuna p'yed echad v'chuli. Now, as often is the case, the v'chuli indicates that the next Gemara is not talking about Rabbi Yehuda, but it's talking about the next part of the Mishnah. Now, to understand properly the next part of the Mishnah, we should just go back to the Mishnah for a moment, and then it'll be much clearer as to what the Gemara is referring to. So the Mishnah is back, I believe, on Chav Gimel Amid Beis. If you look, Chav Gimel Amid Beis, all the way on the bottom of the Amud, we had a Mishnah about the Chen Shnei Anoshim. We're about 8 lines from the bottom of Chav Gimel Amid Beis. The Chen Shnei Anoshim. Zoim a koyin ani, v'zoim a koyin ani. You have two people, each one saying, I'm a koyin, ain't in them one of them. They are not believed for purposes of, for instance, marriage or giving truma and things of that nature. However, bismachi means zezeh, if each one is made about the other, then they are neman. Rabbi Yehuda oima ein malikun api eid echad. 1 8 is not enough, you have to have two. Okay, now the focus of the Gemara is on the final two tanoim in our Mishnah. And that's Rabbi Lozar and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Notice here in the Mishnah it says Rabbi Lozar. In our Gemara, the Gemara is going to constantly say Rabbi Lezer, but that's a printing mistake. It's Rabbi Lozar. So what does Rabbi Lozar say? Rabbi Lozar, ein masai, when can you rely on Eid Echad? Right? A person comes into Shul, he says, I'm a Kohen. We tell him, prove it. And he brings one Eid along. Can you trust that one Eid? Says Rabbi Lozar, ein masai b'makam shi'esh oirin. If there are people that are being ma'arer, ma'arer means that they are challenging the bona fides of this individual, and they're saying that he is not a kohen, and therefore then you'd have to have two eidim, alpi shnayim eidim yokum davar. Since there are orerim, people that are challenging, two eidim. Avu mokim shein orerim, the person comes to shul, and we ask him, prove that you're a kohen. And there's nobody that's saying no, maybe, yes, perhaps, boom, boom. Nobody knows anything. Then one person is believed. One eight is believed. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon ben Haskan or ben Hasegen, malikuna piyed echad. Yeah, you can be malikuna based on one witness. Now, what is the machloikis between Rabbi Lozar and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? Both Rabbi Lozar and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel say that you can rely on one witness. Now it's true that Rabbi Lozar adds and says, it depends. If the Mokim Shiyesh Arin, you need two witnesses. But Mokim Shiyesh Arin, you only need one. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, even though he doesn't repeat that, he obviously also holds the same. If there are two Eidim that are questioning the bona fides of a particular individual, if they're Arin, one aid is not going to do it. You're going to have at least two aids in. If you look, going back to our Gemara now, in Daf Chavav, if you look at the Rashi, well, first let's look at the Gemara. Gemara is 5 lines from the bottom. Fake Gemara, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Heinu Rabbi Lozar. It says Rabbi Lozar, it should be Rabbi Lozar. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Heinu Rabbi Lozar. Zuk Rashi, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Heinu Rabbi Lozar. About 10 lines before the end of the Rashi's. Zuk Rashi, Davadai. But makam shiyesh oirin, if there are challengers, we assume challengers means two edim saying he's not a koyin. Lo yomer Reb Shimon, do we have yichad neman? He wouldn't say one is believed. V'chi omer malin, when did he say malikun al pi eid echad? But makam shein oirin koma. It must be that it's not logical to assume that Reb Shimon Gamliel would say that even though there are bona fide challenges to the bona fides of this individual, as long as you have one kohen, that's genug. No. I mean, so as long as you have one aid, that's genug. Avad, you'd also hold you have to have two aidim. So must be, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, the makam shiyesh orerin, one aid is not enough, but makam she'ein orerin, there are no challenges, malikun api eid echad. That's exactly what Rabbi Lozar said. So what's the machloikis in our Mishnah? Says the Gemara, v'chitein ma'ir or Chad ikabinayu. Maybe the mafkimina is how many orin are we talking about? The word orin is, of course, beloshin rabin. That's plural. It sounds like we're talking about two orin. But maybe, lav dafka. It's just more stylistic. Usually, whenever the Mishnah talks about an ir or, it says orin. Some unknown, undefined, vague, ambiguous group of people that are challenging, that are protesting. But maybe one is already enough for these purposes. The Rebbe says that if you only had one person being ma'arer, just one guy, one aid would not be believed. You would still say, "Ein malin l'kahuna b'aid echad." You'd have to have two, because one person is challenging the qualifications of this individual. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel savar irtrei, and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, "Oh no! If it's only one individual, you do not need two aidim. Malin l'kahuna al pi aid echad." That's what Rabbi Shimon Gamliel would hold. It's only if you have two guys, then you have to have two aidim kenegdoi, going and saying that this person is a kohen. Ah, so maybe that's the machloikis. Rav Loza says, if you have only irchad, you need two edim to establish the bona fides of this individual. While according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, no, only if there are two me'arerim, then you have to have two edim. But if it's only irchad, then you only need ma'an likun ha'pi'er echad. That l'chayda would be a logical way to approach the machlokes. However, that fails at the doorstep. Because Amar Rabbi Yochanan divya kol in ir pachas mishtayim. Rabbi Yochanan says, whenever you see the lashon of oirin iror, it means by definition two edim, two individuals. One individual enough does heisnish kan ir. It's got to be two guys. So in bazoi sevaitu, we go back to square one. Both Reb Lozer and Reb Shem Gamliel and our Mishnah both hold that if there are two Edim that are causing trouble, then those two Edim, in other words, they're making an error about Reuven and saying that he is not a Kohen. Both of them would agree that Ein Malin LeKahuna Al Pi Eid Echad, you need two new kosher Edim. And both of them agree that if you have less than two Edim that are being Ma'arer, Malin LeKahuna Al Pi Eid Echad, you only need one. So he bazoi shavaitz. What's the machloikis? El hocha mayiskinon the muksik lon ba'avur the hay the koyin hu. It's talking about the following situation. It's a little bit of a merry-go-round. Any of you, when you were younger, if you went on a merry-go-round, you know that the horse goes up and down and up and down and up and down. So ba'avur the hay the koyin hu. We knew there was a chazaka that the father of this individual in question was a koyin. No question about that. What about this son? Unfortunately, there was a kol. Now, kol doesn't mean that there was an aid. It means that people were talking. Rashi says, kol ba'alma v'loy aidis. Swimming around, people were saying, you know, I think that guy might be a ben gerusha ben chalutzu. Do you have any hard evidence? No. Yes, that's what people say. That's how people talk. But does anybody know? No. So there was a call, the Ben Gurusha Ben Chalutza, the Achsinei, and therefore the Bezdin temporarily demoted that individual, waiting to see, Rashi says, Achi Yivdiku Es HaDavar. We're going to have to go and do some due diligence, we're going to have to hire some scientists and some professionals to go and do a full evaluation and inspection and investigation to go and conclude what the real status of that fellow is. But in the meantime, Achsine, we demoted him. One aide came on the scene and says, Bezin, I know for sure. And he's a kosher aide, and he says, I know he's a koyin. And as a result, the askine. Askine means that we elevated him back to the status of kahuna. Because, says Rashi, when you only have a kol, one eight is enough. Eid Echad is Mehemet. We're on the top of Chof Vav Amid Beis, top line. And therefore says the Gemara Vaskina. So initially he was demoted. Now we have an Eid Echad. He's now elevated once again. And then we also betray. And now two Eidim came, the Amri Ben Grusha Ben Chalutzahu. Uh-oh. We now have two Eidim that's saying that he is a Cholol. The Achsine. And now we demoted him again. V'yosa eid echad v'yomar, and now one new aid comes on the scene, and he says, Yadana be the kohen. I know that he's a bona fide kohen. So now we have two aidim that came together as one and said that he's a ben gerusha ben chalutza, and we have two aidim that came separately. The one that came after the kol and said, I know that he's a kohen, and therefore we elevated him. And now we have yet a second aid that comes and says, I also know that he's a kohen. Can you go and add 1 plus 1 and make 2? Can you be mitzvah of the 2 aidim if they came separately? Says the Gemara, Kuli Alma, we assume that everybody holds a mitzvah for the aidis. You could add the earlier aid together with this aid. No, if that's the case, why are we leaving him at the demoted stage? Remember, we initially assumed that he was a kohen. We demoted him when they came out a kol. We elevated him when we had 1 aid. We demoted him when we had 2 aidim that said that he's not a kohen. But now that I have the second aid that he is a kohen, let's add 1 plus 1, the mitzarfin, and let's go and be malah him once again. After all, we know that the father was a kohen. You have 2 against 2, let him put it back on his original chazakah and make him weiter a kohen. Kuliyal mitzar for the eggs. So what's the shayla? What's the machloikis, Rebbe Lazar and Reb Shimon Gamliel? The Hakam and Meichesh Lizilusa de Beidina Kamifligi. The machloikis is what I have to be concerned about the zilzel of the Bezdin. Meaning, everybody's going to go and start talking about the Bezdin. You hear about this Bezdin? A week ago, they went and demoted him. 3 days ago, they elevated him. 2 days ago, they demoted him. And today they again elevated him. It's a merry-go-round. Up and down, up and down, up and down. You know, come on, Bezdin. Get your act together. There's going to be a zilzal of the Bezdin. Ah, Tanakhama, so Reb Lazar holds. Kim de Achsine. Since the second time we demoted him, after 2 Adam came, Lei Maskin and Lei, we're not going to go and re-elevate him again. Because Chayshin is zilzal Medina. I mean, how many times can you up and down, up and down, up and down? It's pastnished. Reb Shem Gulia Savar, Anan Achsinan Lei, Anan Maskinan Lei, Ulzilus de Beidina Loi Chashinan. Says Reb Shem Gamliel, we have to do what is proper and appropriate and not worry about the covet of the Bezdin. And if it's appropriate now that we have 2 Adam that say that the person is kosher, bring him back to the surface, re-promote him, re-elevate him, so that he should join the ranks of the Kehuna. So therefore, that's the machlokes in our Mishnah. So it's interesting. When you learn Parshat Pshat in the Mishnah, Malan l'kehuna al pi eid echad, it sounds like I got only 1 aid. And both the Rebbe Lazar and Shimon Gamliel say, yeah, 1 aid, that does it. That, you know, that for purposes of genealogy of a kohen, 1 aid is, that's all you need. According to what our Gemara is telling us now, we're not looking at just 1 aid in a vacuum. We're talking 1 aid plus 1 aid. They're really 2 aidim over here. No, so what's the machlaikis? And why are they talking about malakun al pei echad? I'll tell you why. Because it's talking about that there was originally 1 aid plus a positive aid. Then there were 2 negative aidim. And now we have another positive aid. Oh, the machlaikis is, can you add the 2 together? Everybody holds 1 plus 1 is 2. That's not an issue. The question is, zilus de beidina. Says Reb Lazar, I'm concerned about Zilus de Beidina, and since they were oirim here, and that's why we had to demote him, ain malakuna peyirachad if you have these oirim. Says the Tanit, says Reb Shimon Gamliel, I don't care. Even if we have to go up and down 100 times, bottom line is, if we have now enough aidim that say that he's a kosher aid, reinstate him, a kosher koyim, reinstate him as a koyim. Maslu Ravashi, says Ravashi, based on this explanation that we're concerned about, or at least that there's a machloikis, whether we are concerned about is Lusa de Beidina, so why are we talking about that the second aid came separately? Let's assume that at the end now, instead of 1 aid coming on the scene, 2 new aidim came on the scene. What would Reb Lazar hold in this case? The Chay Reb Lazar would say, since it's trey utrey, remember we have 2 Adam that said, no good, he's a ben grusha ben chalutza. Even if you have 2 new Adam that say he is good, I still am at a logger jam. I have 2 against 2. L'chay the Bezdin should say, or according to Reb Lazar, I'm not going to elevate him again because of zilus de beidina. And if that's the case, why are we talking about 1 new guy, even 2 new guys come on the scene? And therefore, Elamar Ravashi, no, the machloikis has nothing to do with Zilus de Beidina. The machloikis is on the earlier question, Mitztarf on the Eidus Kamiflegi. Can you go and add one eid plus one eid and make it into two eidim if they did not come together as one? So you're telling me, well, why is that a machlekes? Oh, because in fact there's a braisa that reflects that machlekes. And the Gemara quotes now a braisa. Now, the braisa has two segments to it, the reisha and the sefer. The one that's nogeya to us, that's relevant for our purposes, is really the sefer, not the reisha. But you can't just learn a half a braisa. So we learn the whole braisa in its entirety. Designing. You can only have a tziruf of edus if both edim saw the same thing at the same time. There was a halva Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. Both edim come a year later and say, yes, we remember. Each one says on his own, I remember. Do they test positive as dates? I'm not sure what David Fisherman is asking. But let's get back to our Gemara. Oh, as AIDS. I got you. Anyway, the point is, one...
You're trying to take over Shelley's position.
I see. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, I didn't see the whole chat. Shkoyach. Thanks for trying to add a little bit of levity to the Gemara. Anyway, beginning back to our Gemara, so what the Gemara is telling us is, two people a year later, Yankel and Beryl, each one testifies on his own, yes, I was there 9 o'clock in the morning and I saw Reuven give a loan to Shimon. And then Yen Beryl comes into Bezin 2 minutes later, says the same thing. I was there 9 o'clock Sunday morning. I remember. How do I remember Sunday morning? I remember because the Gaba said the Shir Shul Yom of Yom Rishon, and we all followed suit. They both remember it was Yom Rishon, and they remember it was 9 o'clock, it was right after the daf was over, and they all both remember. Okay, so that's perfect ages. Even if they are made one after the other. One after the other means as to the original facts. One is made one thing, someone is made something else, the ultimate starif. Now, what does that mean, something else? Does that mean that one of them says, 9 o'clock on Sunday morning, I saw halva of $100? And the other one says, I saw Monday morning halva of $100? So even though they're both talking about different days, but nevertheless, they both agree $100. Is that the case that we're talking about? Says Rashi, no. Apparently Rashi learns that would not be a proper tziruf, because maybe in fact Reuven lent $200 and $100 on Sunday, $100 on Monday, and each one is being made as one aid to a different transaction. And you can only go and be mechayev the lova to pay back if you have two aidim on a particular loan. So apparently Rashi holds that would not be sufficient. So Ibazoi, so what is Rabbi Shimon Karcha talking about? Says Rashi, it's talking about that the first aid says that I was there Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, I saw the loan. The second aid, Shimon, says, I wasn't there at the time of the loan. But 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Beryl admitted to me, Barabim, he conceded that he had taken a loan this morning at 9 o'clock from Reuven. So there were no doubts that we're talking about the same transaction. However, they witnessed it b'zeh achar zeh. One saw the actual transaction, and the other one saw the concession that there had been a transaction. If you look at Rashi, see, Rashi is about almost halfway down the Rashis. Ad shiyiru shneim ki echad, esa edus. It's got to be they both saw at the same moment the same thing. That was the Tanakama of this Braisa. Rabbi Shu ben Korcha disagrees. Lafuki echad oyim befonai hilvehu. The first aid says the halva took place in front of me. V'echad oyim befonai hoideloi olav. I didn't see the actual loan. However, Shimon agreed and conceded to me and admitted to me that Reuven had given him the loan. Said Reb Shimon Korcha, that's enough. Afil b'zeh chazeh also works. Okay, but again, that's not what we're dealing with over here. We're not dealing with a situation where two people saw different things at different times. Can we be mitzaref? Here we're talking about whether they can go mimitzaref when they arrive at Beis Din on different days or at different times. If you want Eidus to be miskayim, in other words, that it should have a kiyum, that people should confirm, yeah, good Eidus, it's got to be that they're made together as one. Reb Nosson Omer, no. Doesn't have to be they both come on Monday morning. One of them will come on Monday, the other will come on Tuesday or on Thursday. That's also good. As long as they both say the same thing. The Yankel, the aide, will say on Monday morning, I was there at Alavoha at 9 o'clock a.m. in Fohans Bismedrish a year ago, right after the Daf. And then the next day, Beryl will come and say, I saw the loan take place Sunday morning in Fohans Bismedrish right after the Daf. Yeah, they both say the same thing, but they're saying it on different days. Says Reb Nosson, that's fine. Those two can be mitzaref. But the Tanna Kamma disagrees. He said, no, ein eidusa miskayem es ad she'idu shneihem k'echad. They both have to arrive on the scene in the Bezin at the same time. Zokti Gemara says, Rav Ashi, that's the machlokes in our Mishnah. That it's talking about one aid came on the scene. Not two. One aid came. When did he come? After his partner, the other aid, had already come a day before or a week before. Can you be mitzaref it? Says Rav Blazar, you cannot be mitzaref it. Says Rav Shem Gamliel, yes, you can be mitzaref it, even though it was a day or two later. No problem. And we go on to the next Mishnah now. Zok to Mishnah. This is a situation that we've had already a couple of times in recent Dathan. We're talking about Nebuch a Shvuya, a lady that was taken into captivity, unfortunately, by Goyim. We have to be concerned whether or not, Chas v'Shalom, she was violated by one of those Goyim. What difference would it make? Well, a couple of differences. If she is married and she was violated by one of the Goyim, was she married to a Kohen or married to Yisrael? If she was married to a Kohen, even though it was Ne'ensa, she was Nebuch violated, she's unfortunately Asur of the Kohen. Moreover, even if she was not married, she was single. If she lived with the Goy willingly, Mirtzoina, then she would become a Zoina, and also the Kohen. If she's married to a Yisrael and she lived willingly with the Goy, then unfortunately she becomes Asura Labala. So there are potential problems here with this young lady. Zokton's Remishna. If the reason why she was taken for ransom was because of a monetary dispute, Muteris Labala. She is ransomed and she returns to her husband. She can go back to her husband. She's totally mutter. Nothing to be concerned about. If the reason why she was taken by the Goyim in the first place was because of a capital offense, then she would be also tabala. Now what's the difference between the mamoin and the nefashis? So we're going to learn about this in the Gemara momentarily. In the meantime, the way Rashi learns Pshat, which is not going to be the Maskonas HaGemara, that the difference between the Momoin and the case of the Nefashis is that the reason why she was taken by the Oiv Dechavim, not because she was stolen and taken into captivity to be able to demand a ransom, but rather because there was a financial dispute either with her or with her husband, or with her family. The Goyim are saying, these Jewish people borrowed $1,000, they are not returning the money, we'll take collateral. And what's the collateral? They're going to go and take the woman, they're going to take the wife. Rachmana litzlan. Ay, ay, ay. So what happens if they go and take her? The presumption is that they're not going to want to violate her, because then the family may say, once you did that, we're not going to go and pay you the money. You did such a terrible injustice, such an avla, we're not going to pay the money. So they want to keep her intact, so to speak. So when they get paid their money on their loan, they'll give back the goods, like giving back any type of collateral. Lahabdul. On the other hand, if it's ayyidei nefashes, what means ayyidei nefashes? That unfortunately, apparently did something that the Bezdin, or at least that the court, actually sentenced her to death. Since anyway she's going to unfortunately be killed, so the goyim now took her and say, listen, young lady, you only have another day or two in this world anyway. So they violated her. Since ayyidei nefashes, asur lebala. Let's take a quick look at the Rashi. Rashi's parallel to our Mishnah. So to Rashi. Al yidei mamon muteres lebala de mirsisi. Mirsisi means they are scared, they're afraid. Lahafsid mamoinam, to go and lose their money. Veina mafkir noisa. So they figure it's not a good idea to go and violate her, because if we do that, we may never get paid. So they stay away. That unfortunately she was, the court decided to go and paskin lemisa, chas v'sholem, that she should die. Asur l'bala, tohoyu v'noyegin by hefker, since anyway her life is on a very thin thread, so therefore they're going to be noyeg hefker to go and kill her, surely. Therefore they said, okay, you have one last time before you're going to die. And then they violated her. And then, miraculously, somehow, on appeal, they freed her. And therefore, she's returning now to her husband. We are concerned that when she lived with her captors, when she lived with the guards in the jail, or with the warden, that she figured, it's you know, life is over shortly anyway, I might as well have a good time. And therefore, she did a baratzayin instead of having been forced into a masa bia. She did a baratzayin. Not that she was particularly happy about it, but not necessarily that she was nansa. That being the case, asur labal, have to be concerned, asur labal. That's how Rashi learns. Rashi learns in the Foshis is talking about that she did something that would require her, unfortunately, to be executed. However, as we'll see in the Gemara, it's not so simple. Zok Yomar. Omer Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak Amar Rav. Lo yishana, when we said in the Reisha of the Mishnah that she was taken al yidei mamoin, and the mamoin, as we said before, is because the people wanted to get paid on their loan. That's when we have the upper hand in that region. For instance, in Eretz Yisrael, at the time that the Yidden were in charge. Or perhaps there were regions in Bavel, where because there was a majority of Jews, they had the control over the local populace of Goy. And therefore, if a Goy was owed money, and he would go and take the woman as collateral, he had no right to take the woman as collateral. That's against the law. So he had no right to go and live with the woman either. So therefore, they would be mirsis, they would be scared to go and violate the young lady. But if the goyim have the upper hand in terms of governance, that they are in control, now the word takif al atzman on the surface means that they are in control for themselves or of themselves. However, that's really a euphemistic term. It really means that the takifa chas v'sholem on klal Yisrael. However, the Gemara doesn't want to be poiseach peh l'son. The Gemara doesn't want to open its mouth and say something wrong. So just like the Gemara often says that a person was Beirach Es Hashem instead of Chas V'Shalom being Mekal Es Hashem, because we don't want to even use those words. That's why the Gemara uses expression of Tekif Al Atzman, but really think in your minds that it means that Yarev Yichov is Tekifa Al Yisrael. So what happens then? So then legally the courts allow the Goyim to take any type of collateral, and therefore they can even take the wife. They can even take the young lady. Oh, in that case, they feel that they have the upper hand. Even if it's only because of mamon, then it's also the bala, because we're afraid that the goyim feel invincible. They figure the law is on our side, the court system is our side, the police on our side. We have nothing to worry about, and we're afraid that chas v'sholem they're going to violate the young lady, and therefore she'll be asur lebala. Massive Rabbah. So now we're going to have three versions of the next Gemara. They all are basically the same, that we have over here a situation which is slightly different than our Mishnah. According to the first version, we're going to ask Akasha from the following Braisa. According to the second version, we're going to bring a Raya from the second Braisa. And according to the third version, we're going to ask a Stira between the Mishnah and the Braisa, and we're going to give the same Pshat. As you'll see, it's pretty straightforward. Masav Rav, you just concluded saying, Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak, in the name of Rav, that if Yad Akum is Takif, then even Al Yidei Mamoin Asur Labala. Masav Rav, hey, Rav Yitzchak, Akoyim, Rav Zchari, Ben Akatzav, Al Bas Yisrael, Shehurana Bi Ashkaloin, Hurana, says Rashi, means Nismashkina, she was taken as a Mashkin, but not that she was taken as a Mashkin against her will. When she took out the loan initially, she stipulated in the contract, they asked her, what is the collateral in case you don't pay back the loan? She said, I am the collateral. Hurana means she established herself as the collateral for the loan if she doesn't pay it back. And guess what happens? Unfortunately, she didn't pay it back. And unfortunately, she was taken as collateral. And now you would expect that the family would go and try to redeem her and be makarver. Instead, the family members were marachik. Presumably, they didn't want to go and pay. Or even if they did pay, they felt so poorly about this young lady. They didn't have much pity on her. They figured that she's crazy for making herself into a mashkin. And they were marachik her. They didn't want anything to do with her. However, there were Edom that said about her. And Rashi says that the Edom said two things. Number one, they are the ones that said that she made herself into a mashkin, into collateral, and therefore she was the one that willingly was taken away, as well as Shloinisav Leishnitma, but Baruch Hashem, nothing happened. Gesundheit, Brother Shai. Nothing happened, she was not Tameya, the guards, the captors didn't do anything to her. So the Chum said, meaning, basically the Pesha Osar, Pesha Hiter that we've spoken about before, that these Edom, either you believe them entirely, or don't believe them at all. In other words, if you believe them that she was taken as a Mashkin, and that this was her design, and this was her agreement, then also believe that they say Shloi Nitma v'le Shloi Nistra. If you don't believe Shloi Nistra v'le Nitma, don't believe that she was taken as a mashkin. Maybe she was a free lady all along. So, it's one or the other. That's what was the discussion with Rabbi Yosi HaKoyin and B'chari ben Akatzav about this unfortunate young lady. And therefore, they were telling off the B'nai Mishpachta, and they said, Naman of Shach, you have to take her back and be makarver and love her as much as you did previously. Because if you think, if you believe the Edom that she was Hurana, that she herself is victimized herself by allowing herself to become collateral, then you have to believe the Edom that they said that Loi Nitma. If you don't believe them about Loi Nitma, then don't believe them about Hurana. It's all or nothing. Says the Gemara is now Medayik. This story took place in Ashkelon, right? Abbas Yisrael, Shehurna b'Ashkelon. Ashkelon, as we know, is one of the five cities of the Orei Plishtim. And therefore, the Plishtim were in control. Moreover, says Rashi, this is talking in a period of time that Klal Yisrael, unfortunately, had already gone to Golus, to Bavel. So in Eretz Yisrael, Klal Yisrael no longer had any governance or control. So Ashkelon is Yadav Yichab Tkif Alatzma. Uktani, what does it say about it? Hurhana, if she made herself into a mashkin, like Rashi says, demidas, she agreed to the terms initially that she should be the collateral in. That's when we say that we have these goyim, and the goyim perhaps did or did not take control over her in terms of chas v'shalom living with her. And therefore we say that Baruch Hashem, there are edim that say, loy nitma'a, we should follow the Edom. Masha Hurana in Nechbashaloi. What happens if there wasn't such an agreement in advance? But rather, people gave a loan. They didn't pay back the loan. And therefore the goyim went and grabbed her as collateral. Not a hurana, where she agreed to it initially, but where against her will they went and schlepped her away. In such a case, l'chayra, I would say you don't need edim, because it says in our Mishnah, the al yedei mamoin, they're not going to go and touch her. Right? Remember our Mishnah said, so what our Gemara is telling us is, Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak Amar Rav said that this halach only applies where Yad Yisrael Takif al Oivdik Achav. But when it's Yad Oivdikam Takif al Atzman, even Al Yidei Mamon Asur Labala, say to him, no. The only time that I'm concerned about Asur Labala is if Hurhana, that she agreed Midas initially to this collateral device, that she's going to be the collateral. However, if Nachmisha, if she was slept away, then we don't go and assume that the goyim went and lived with her, because after all, it was Ayidei Mamoin. See, look at the Rashi at the top. Horana, Demidas, it was, she agreed to it. V'kimen de'giyaz mavalein niftas, since at the time of the maturity of the loan, she didn't pay it back, or the family didn't pay it back, v'lein niftas. Hari ishalev v'yichav v'dinayim, so then, their laws allow her now to be collateral. That's why you have to have edim that say, we were there, we know loy nitma. However, nechmesha, dein nechletes lehem, there, they had no business going and taking her, they just grabbed her because no one was paying off the loan. Since it's ayidei mamon, our Mishnah said, we're not concerned about that maybe she was violated by the goyim. But Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak said that that's only referring to a situation when it was Yad Yisrael Takifa. Ashkelon was Yad Goyim Takifa. I should be concerned not only by Hurana, maybe even by Nechbisha. Everything more know. Who are the Nafil and Nechbisha? Really, this makes no difference. Hurana, Nechbisha, Nechbisha, Hurana. In all cases, it's the same. If Yad Akim is Takif, you need two Edom to say, Loi Nitma. So why did the Brisa talk about Horna? That was the story. They're just telling us the story in all of its glorious detail. So the Gemara asked the Kasha on Rav Shmuel Rav Yitzchak from the Brisa, and the Gemara gave it Teretz. Ikhidi Ami, there was another version. Omarov Afanan Amitinin, I'll bring your riot to Rav Shmuel Rav Yitzchak. What does it say in the Brisa? Hey, Rabbi Yisak Koyim Rabbi Yitzchari, Ben Akatsev Albasi Srosha Horna, Be'ashkeloin. Unfortunately, she agreed to be a mashkin in Ashkelon, and she was taken away when they didn't pay the loan on the maturity date. V'rechku b'nei mishpach, and the many mishpacha were merachik her, they distanced themselves. V'edem eidno leh, v'shloin nisra, v'shloin nitma, and the edem came and said, Baruch Hashem, nothing happened. V'yomer chachamim yim atem aminim shehura na, hem minish shloin nisra, v'shloin nitma. It's a package deal. That's the end of the braisa. Zot yetzi gemara. I have now a raya to Rav Shmuel Rav Yitzchak. V'ashkelon da'idei mamon hava. Ashkelon was a situation, as we said before, that they were takif al atzman. They were takif. And the story over here is da'idei mamon. V'tamad di'edem ma'idin oisa. That Baruch Hashem, she was not Nivala, she was not Nistera, nothing happened. Ha ain Adam Adam Moisa. What happens if we didn't have Adam that would be made? Loi. So then what would we say? Then Enochanam may have to be concerned that the Akam were violated her. We just said no Aide Mamun, we don't have to be concerned. That says as we said to Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak. Is the Harayat of Shmuel Bar Yitzchak that if it's Aide Mamun and Yad Akum is Takiv, then you have to be concerned, and that's why you have to have Edim. Edim in Oisa, ha ein Edim is Eloi. And therefore, my love, Lishna, Hurna, Lishna, Nechbisha. Even though the Brisa talk about Hurna, Hurna, Nechbisha, Nechbisha, Hurna, it's all the same. She was taken into captivity as collateral because of the failure to pay a loan because of Mominus. No, if it's Mominus, Amisha said, you don't have to worry, you don't need Edim. Yeah, because Amisha is talking about when Yad Yisrael Takiv, not Yad Akim Takiv. That's why you need Eidim. Is a charaya taka from the Brisa to Shmuel Reb Yitzchak? So the Gemara lie, you have no raya. Horin Oshani. Here we're talking about that she herself declared herself to be collateral in advance. There you need Eidim. However, when she didn't declare herself to be collateral, they took her forcibly as collateral. Maybe not. Maybe you don't need Eidim. So we don't have a raya to Shmuel Reb Yitzchak. Ikon Rami La Mirma. Others ask this as a stira. You don't have to worry. You paid back the loan. She's muteris labala. Or minu, hey, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yonah, and Rabbi Yosef, and Rabbi Chaim, and Akatsa, the whole geshaft. That what you have to have edim. Ivo ashkel na yidei mamay uktoni time with edim mein noisa dafka because of edim or ein edim mein noisa loy is the chasira mishnah and the brisa. Umeshani Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yitzchak loy kasha. Our mishnah is talking about kanchi al yisrael to keep alive the gechavim. Then you don't have to worry about that the akum violated the young lady and therefore she's muteris labala. In the case of the brides of Kanshel Yadav Gechavim to keep Alatzman, where the Gechavim are in charge, and their laws allow them to go and grab ladies as collateral, so I have to worry about that they violated, and that's the reason why I have to have a special two Adam that say, Loi Nistra, the Loi Nitma. So we had three versions of this Kasha and Teres of Shumar and Yitzchak, but they all basically come down, bottom line, to the same, that there is a distinction between our Mishnah, where we're talking about Yad Yisrael Takifa, and the case of Yad Akum Takifa. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisai. Zad Keben Shem Yechem, 8:05 tomorrow morning. Barry, feel better. Hopefully we'll see you coming out and running around again with full life and vitality, and etc. Be well. Well, Barry, the case that we have.